prize. I've already got the prize. The prize is the pleasure of finding the thing out.
The Earth is a very small stage in a vast cosmic arena.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing.
Now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds.
You realize when you know how to think, it empowers you far beyond those who know only what to think.
Boom. All right. We are recording. Perfect. And hello, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to Griffins and Gluons. I'm once again your host, Elliot. And on behalf of the Physics and Astronomy Club, congratulations to everyone on completing exams and, more importantly, being the first generation of students who completed an entire year of school online, in quarantine, during the pandemic, with all the struggles associated with it. So you should all be very proud. Pat yourselves on the back. Take a day off. And in the spirit of that, I think it's best that we, you know, sit back, take inventory, and kind of reflect on, you know, the past two semesters. And that's exactly what we're going to do today. It's a bit of a shift than normal. We're not going to be interviewing, you know, professors of science, physics, and knowledge. We're going to be interviewing professors of student life, you know, the grind, late nights, Starbucks, and skip the dishes, in which both of my gentlemen that we're going to be interviewing today both have PhDs in. So first off, we have Galt Bruch, who is a third year nanoscience major, coming to us live from Saskatchewan at the University of Saskatoon. Galt, how are you?
I'm doing all right, yeah.
And next up, we have a first-year physics major coming to us live all the way from overseas in the subcontinent from Bangladesh, is Tanzim Mayaz. Tanzim, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I mean, again, considering I've just finished an online year, an entire year of online classes, whatever great means now, that great.
And we really appreciate you, you know, representing University of Guelph, you know, all the way, you know, overseas, an entire ocean and continent away, and that's great. And I guess the first place I'm gonna have to start is, has it hit you guys yet that you know, classes are over, you know, no more exams, you can just kind of, you know, take it easy, that kind of thing?
Again, weird answer to that, because yeah, I can't like just stick to not doing anything. And so, like, before the exams were over, like during the exam season, I had like a list of things that I was going to do. Like, you know, I was going to enjoy my summer and do all kinds of stuff and develop myself. And then the exams were over and I suddenly realized that I now have no deadlines, no assignments, no quizzes, no Hayden McNeil lab work to do. And it's just, there was this absolute lack of purpose all of a sudden.
Yeah. And what's the old adage, you know, never retire, because people who retire, you know, within a year, they just drop dead because they've just been working their whole lives. They've just been going, the machine's been going, and then, you know, all of a sudden they stop. And no, absolutely. I'm sure a lot of people are feeling that way. And Galt, how about you? I guess you're not fully done, are you?
No. So, you know, having a co-op term going on right now obviously means that I'm still working, which is just studying of another form. But having the Guelph courses done is really, really something special. I'm still doing online courses from other universities, but having Guelph courses finished up that aren't designed to be fully integrated into an online environment is a breath of fresh air right now.
Right. And yeah, take that breath, take a deep one, because I assume your summer is probably going to be pretty busy as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you get a quick intermediary period, which is nice. But so I guess we'll just kick this off then. So as I prefaced before, this is not going to be super formal. You know, it's really an opportunity that that the two of you can kind of, you know, vent your frustrations, you know, your opinions on the year. Obviously, you guys were the perfect test subjects, quote unquote, for this, because you're both out of province, different time zones, have a lot on your plate. And, you know, compared to someone like me who is, you know, who lived in Guelph and just kind of treated it as if it was in person, you know, just the day to day. Your experience is obviously going to be a bit different, and the things that you guys learned will definitely apply towards, you know, students, both domestic and international. So we'd love to hear your opinions. So I guess I'll just start off on the big one. Galt, you're working in Saskatoon before you were living in Alberta. So you're 1-2 hours behind Guelph time. Tanzim, you're in Bangladesh, you're 10 hours ahead of us. So you guys are way off, you know, the schedules for classes and stuff. How did you guys manage to, you know, get to class on time and maintain that workload throughout the year? And Galt, I'll start with you.
Yeah, so like as a quick answer, not very well. It's pretty, you know, even the 2-hour difference is pretty difficult. You know, I was either waking up at 6:30 every morning, which some days is totally fine during the start of the semester. That was great. After about a month in, started to have a bit of wear and tear on me a bit. I think it is really hard to keep that constant pressure on school and kind of keep it in check when, you know, even a 2-hour difference is keeping everything kind of out of step.
Right. And Tanzim, how about you?
So I kind of took like a more idiotic, slightly dumb route for this. So
idiotic and dumb.
Yes.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So my solution to all of this was basically change my entire sleep cycle.
Oh jeez.
I sort of started like in the beginning I didn't know what to do, right? Because all of my classes were like they started at around 9 p.m. for me, 9 in the night, and they went on to like 1 or 2 a.m. and then I had labs at 5 in the morning. So yeah, I didn't really have an option here. I had to sort of change my sleep cycle. It came to the point where I used to wake up to sunsets and then sleep after watching a sunrise.
Jeez.
Fun. It wasn't, I mean, it was a new experience.
Do you think, are you going to be able to reverse that, you know, over the summer when you don't have classes? Like, are you going to be able to get back into a normal rhythm of, you know, sleeping during the night now?
Okay, this is going to sound a bit like a flex, but I don't mean it like that. But I feel like now I have like a solid grasp on my sleep. Like, I can basically sleep whenever I want to and then wake up whenever I want to.
Well, yeah, that is a flex, and that is definitely something we all desire.
Yeah,
that is a flex. My bad. That is definitely a flex. But yes. It took me an entire year of sleeping at the worst possible time to get it. Okay, I deserve to flex about this. I have earned myself this.
Yeah, that's very fair.
Been training for it's fair. I guess the equivalent of sort of like the paradigm of acting is to be able to cry on command. The paradigm of student life is to be able to sleep on command, I guess,
yeah.
or at any point. But
yep.
No, but that's nuts. And I guess it's something that not everyone, you know, factored in when making these courses and making the schedules for these. You know, everything's still centered around Guelph and Eastern time, and assuming that everyone can make that. And I guess to kind of mitigate and you know, take the load off you guys so that you can, you know, actually effectively work and hand in your best work, did you guys devise any habits, tips and tricks, or did you learn anything from anywhere that kind of helped you, you know, carry along and get through this semester? Or was it sort of just, you know, full steam ahead, I'll just do the work, sleep when I can, and Like how did you guys, you know, what was your thought process? What was your, you know, your method to that?
Yeah. You know, as someone who's kind of been through the university gambit twice now, I've attempted all of the other strategies. And at some point you just kind of learn, you know, motivation is not enough. Discipline is really what you have to have. I know a couple of my friends have done the you sleep when you can, and if you can't, then you suck it up. And it's not really the life for me. So I just, you know, really made sure that I was getting a set amount of stuff done in the day. And then once a certain hour hits, as long as there's no assignment, you know, due tomorrow, that's it, I'm done. Because you really just can't afford to be constantly on the red line every single day.
Right, right, right. Tanzim, how about you?
Yeah, so I went into this as a first year, right? So yeah. I really didn't have that. I've always in high school, I've always finished my work exactly on the red line. It usually got me through. I mean, I got fairly good grades for considering I finished stuff on the red line. So I figured I could do that for university, and boy, was I wrong. that was one of those bad choices I made earlier on in the first semester, and it really came back to bite me in the butt, pretty bad. So eventually, I basically learned that, yeah, again, you really can't. It's not possible to constantly cram and get your stuff done just in the nick of time. That's the worst possible choice. Right. And the other thing, sleeping is of utmost importance. One just cannot function without sleep for a very long period of time. No matter how much coffee you have, just no.
And I mean, sleep deprivation is a torture technique. So it's, I know a lot of motivational YouTube videos are like, oh, sleep less, sleep is for the weak, that kind of thing. Obviously, they've never done, you know, physics online or nanoscience online. They would, regret that decision immediately.
Well, and I think that mentality, kind of going back to that transition between high school and university, motivational videos like that and that mentality of, you know, the grind culture is a huge trap for these first years coming in. And that was true before we went into a worldwide lockdown, but it's even more true with that, because people just don't understand how to effectively complete assignments.
Right. And to Tanzim, to your point before about how you plan so many things that you wanted to do, that kind of and never, you know, got to get around to doing them. That kind of resonates to that grind culture as well, because they'll tell you to, you know, wake up at 5, go for a 2-mile run, take nothing but cold showers, eat, you know, only game meat. That kind of maybe that's the videos I'm watching, but there does seem to be a lot more overcomplication when it comes to this. But you guys found that, you know, the simplest thing is just manage your time and work, and then when you're done working, just sleep and then rinse, repeat.
I'd add an extra step to that though, because again, no matter, I needed a break after those work sessions. I couldn't just work, sleep, rinse, repeat. That just didn't work for me. I feel like those breaks are as important as the work, if not more sometimes.
Right. And Galt, you were saying before?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything being said here. It is kind of a harsh reality, I think, of, you know, the physics and science courses, that sometimes you do just have to accept that you're not going to have those breaks. But whenever you get the chance to have one, you need to be taking one. And I think, you know, we found that a lot of people have this general lethargy towards really doing anything, because again, you know, if you've watched the news recently, you don't have too much available. But you know, it is so important to get those breaks when you can.
Right. And it's, you know, critical for your mental health as well. And that was the next topic I kind of wanted to get into. I know for a lot of us, mental health is a big, it's underlooked. Even though we have a lot of programs to help mitigate, to help, you know, help people get back into the right state of mind, the Wellness Center will always send out a newsletter, but it's not always that effective. We are still stuck indoors. We are still doing, you know, very complicated work. And a lot of the time we don't really understand it and, you know, feel very, you know, helpless and depressed doing it. So I kind of wanted to know, how did you guys, in your situations, how did you, you know, keep that, other than sleeping and taking those breaks, of course, how did you maintain your mental health, you know, without going insane, cramming all this stuff in and you know, doing all these complicated problems? And Galt, I'll start with you, because you're juggling like two jobs right now.
I think the big part of it really was talking to family for me. I really got back to that kind of center of support that I had, which, you know, I'm lucky to be able to do that. I know some people aren't in that same situation, but yeah, that, I played a ton of chess. I've religiously gotten into that. So having, you know, as we said, hobbies has been great, but you know, to some extent, besides making sure you're active, making sure you're healthy and going for walks, there is a mentality in my head right now that you do have to accept that you're not going to enjoy every second of it. And I just, to some extent, work through those feelings.
Right. And Tanzim, how about you? I know you're living at home, but how is the, I know the COVID restrictions are a bit different where you are. So in terms of, you know, family life and socializing and maintaining those hobbies, how have you been able to cope with that?
Yeah. So honestly, university, I mean, I wasn't expecting the amount of pressure I got from university. So it kind of put me off in the beginning. I was kind of lost. I had, in the beginning, I had lost touch with a lot of my hobbies and my family members as well. Like we were in the same house, but I was too busy to get out of my room. And whenever they'd come to my room, they'd find me passed out somewhere on my bed or the floor or in front of my desk.
Jeez.
One or the other. So yeah, it wasn't very nice. It took me a while to start again scheduling out time for my hobbies, for family, because it's not like, once you have that kind of pressure, you just can't make time unless you actually put effort into making time.
Right.
And the other thing that kept me going through this pressure though is enjoying the little things. I, for example, finished my labs like in the morning, and then I go to my roof and I just sit there and watch the sunrise. And I think about absolutely nothing. At that moment, I didn't have like all the pressure of the assignments or the next lab that's due, or nothing. I just sit there, and it was those things that kept me going.
Right. And I guess it's one of those things that you had to develop, like you were saying before, you had to train yourself to change your sleep schedule. I guess in order to keep your sanity, you had to kind of train yourself to just think of nothing, just enjoy the present, enjoy the moment.
Right. Yeah, it was actually a nice takeaway from first year uni online.
Right.
It was an unintended takeaway.
And Gal, going back to you talking about family connection and maintaining hobbies, did you, you know, obviously everyone's online, we can't, you know, socialize in person. But were you still able to, you know, on either on a daily or weekly basis, talk to your close friends, interact by playing, you know, games maybe online or like multiplayer games or chess online or anything like that? Like, did you get to maintain that bond?
Yeah. So, we set up, a game night among my friends where we would all kind of get together into a Discord call and someone would stream and we just kind of watch and talk and hang out. And that did a lot. You know, these connections are really important right now during the pandemic, and trying to find time for that was pretty important to all of us, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, you know, I'm talking to them every day. It's either about assignments or about stuff going on in physics, and keeping those connections between my friends was pretty easy to maintain. It was more the family connections that were difficult.
Right. I
kind of want to get in on that.
Yeah, sure.
Sorry to interrupt.
No worries.
So, yeah, the thing about gaming, you were talking about gaming. So I am a pretty big gamer myself. I love just, you know, sitting down, getting into Minecraft or League of Legends or anything. And it was one of those things that kept me in touch with my friends as well. My friends and I, we have from high school, we have a little Discord group where we just get into a voice chat and we'd study up by ourselves. We'd have Groovy playing some lo-fi playlist and we'd just be there. We didn't have to talk to each other. It was just nice just having someone to study with.
Right.
It felt like it was important, that one of those things that got me through first year.
Right. And just going back to, how you guys were talking about the dichotomy between friends and family, and Galt, please chime in, because I was relating back to your points. Is there that sort of, like, even though when talking with friends, everyone's still frustrated. Everyone who, like, we're doing the same work, we're doing the same assignments, and it's very frustrating and stressful. Do you find that it was easier to maintain that cohesion because you guys were all doing the same struggle? You guys were all in the same, fire pit together, trying to do the same thing, versus, family, where it's, things are different. Family has their own stuff. They're not doing the same schoolwork as you guys.
Yeah. So I definitely think there is, avenue of that, which is somewhat frustrating, and I can imagine how it is for other individuals. I have a pretty understanding family. The flip side of it is I don't really see the pandemic as much as they do. I'm relatively isolated where I am, and back in the town in Alberta that I come from, we are currently, I'm pretty sure, the worst per capita in all of Canada.
Oh, geez.
So yeah, it's tough seeing it from both sides. Just how, they don't really get the stuff I'm doing in university, which is fine. And I don't really get what it's like to be working in a public facing sector right now that has to deal with idiots, for lack of a better word, that don't really understand the pandemic and how serious it is.
Right. And Tanzim, with you, that same sort of dichotomy relates, because when everyone was going to sleep in your family, you were up, grinding. So, up working. So while you guys were kind of alternating, so it was kind of hard to fit in that family time as well, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I was, before first year, I was like very close to family. I enjoyed my family time, so it was particularly hard for me to like not have almost any contact with my family in the entire day. But hey, I sort of figured a way around it. I basically leave, like, so whenever I thought about a family member, or I thought of something about a family member, I basically write it down on a little sticky note, and I leave it on my little brother's door or my mom's door, like whoever I meant it for. And then they'd see the sticky note and they'd write their replies, and I'd then get their replies through another sticky note. And yeah, it kind of worked. It wasn't as good as actually talking to them, but we made do somehow.
Jeez, man. You got to do what you have to do, right? Like, that's,
that.
Jeez. And it is kind of true. And Gal, going back to your point about how, you're dealing with, your situation doesn't pertain to the fact that you come into contact with COVID often, but you get the effects. And same with you, Tanzim. You're like, we're studying. We're not out there. We're not frontline workers. We're not out in the workforce potentially getting the spread, but we're getting the effects of the spread, of the lockdown, and all that, everything that comes packaged with it. And on that note, because we're not really, our issue isn't really a healthcare issue when it comes to school. It's more of a technology issue, being able to be connected, being able to get those resources, being able to get extra help or just basic instruction in general. What were some of the barriers for you guys? Obviously Wi-Fi is one of them, but what were some of the other barriers, technologically, that you guys had to overcome to try and, get the same amount of information and education as you would if you were in person, or at least try and emulate that? And Galt, I'll start with you, because we were having we were having Wi-Fi issues before, and you were really, yeah. You were really getting off on that one.
Yeah, no, I think it's certainly a two-sided issue at the university. You know, the professors have technology issues, we have technology issues. Mm-hmm. I did a fourth year course, which was a bit of a mistake, but it was fun as well, with Daitong Jiang, who mm-hmm. is one of the professors at Guelph. And great guy. I have had him teach me in person. He is a fantastic professor. Having to do it online, I still loved the class. Don't misunderstand me. I think he's, you know, one of the best professors you can get. But it's certainly a change. And really, that was where I realized, you know, nobody's really prepared to deal with this. Like, teachers aren't set up with the proper tools at home to teach effectively. Mm-hmm. So we very quickly moved to PowerPoints, which suck for learning off of. And yeah, like, from just the technological side on the teachers, that was the difficulty, was, you know, everything is now a PowerPoint. I honestly don't think I had a class that wasn't a PowerPoint or some form of that for this entire, you know, first semester that we went through. Right. On my end, you know, I was lucky to have a relatively, you know, decent computer, good internet connection on my side of it, but obviously connecting across the country, there was lots of issues with that. Everyone's kind of figuring out Zoom. I am constantly in a state of not understanding new technology. So on that side of things, I had a couple issues. Yeah, it's just a very difficult time to kind of make all of these parts work together.
Right. And Townsend, for you, I guess it's more of the extreme end, because you have to maintain, you know, a Wi-Fi connection from, you know, from a greater distance. Obviously, there's more variables at play. How did you, were you able to always get, you know, a constant instruction, or because of, you know, those barriers, did you have to, you know, miss out on some lectures and catch up and, you know, miss out on some notes?
Yes, definitely. Like, there were times when so we have like electricity outages, power outages at times, and especially in this warmer times. So then I'd like miss weeks worth of an entire week. I'd basically have to like wait for the lectures to be uploaded at the end of the week, and then I'd have to sort of grind through my way through the lectures, which was which was traumatizing, to say the least. And not just that, though. I like how Gulp put it, you know, how it's not just problems from my end. There were also problems from the university's end, I guess, because I, for one, for example, felt kind of cheated when we had like online labs, like, you know, like simulated labs that were supposed to be quote unquote as good as being in a lab in person. And mm-hmm. let me tell you, no, no, they were not as good as being in a lab yourself. They were just not. That's not how it works. And not just that, for my physics IPS course, for example, we basically needed this device called an iLab device. And so this device, I could not find anywhere in my country. And if I wanted to have it shipped from like Canada, it would cost something around, I'd have to buy it. I couldn't rent it. I have to permanently buy it. And it would cost something around like 3-4K CAD. I couldn't just spend 4K CAD on a device that I'm going to be using for like 1 year at most.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So we worked around that. I got data from other students who were performing those experiments, and then I used the data, but it's not like being in an actual lab. It just isn't.
Right. And this is one of the things, and obviously I'm not going to accuse you guys of this, you wouldn't do this, but this is one of the things that drives a lot of students to cheat or maybe skew the numbers to fit the data. Because at the end of the day, if you are put in that situation where you just can't get, you know, the answers, or you're missing things, and you're forced to cheat. Like these things arrive. And I know it's a very controversial topic, but a lot of people have kind of come out in these, you know, news sites talking about how they use Chegg all the time because they really are struggling. And yeah, so no, that's nuts. You guys sound like you had like a pretty metal semester. That's pretty crazy. So good on both of you. And I know we're approaching time here talking about, you know, technological barriers. Zoom decided to tie me down a bit. So I guess the last thing is, I just wanted to know if you guys had, you know, any major criticisms, things that you've like really wanted to let the university and the professors know that you've been building up, you know, that has been building up over the entire semester. I just want to know, let it out. What are the biggest things that you would want changed? And Galt, I'll start with you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I think we talked about it briefly there, but you know, cheating, it's definitely becoming a huge problem as mm-hmm. the university moves forward, especially into this environment. Understandable, but that doesn't mean we can just let it slide because it's just damaging the courses that we have. Right. Every time we have people, you know, going onto Chegg, looking at this online or getting previous answers, the professor sees, you know, I'm getting a 97 in my course. I got to make it harder. And that just encourages more cheating, which means that we're just pumping out bad scientists and bad students and poor learners. And that's really not what we want to be doing as a university, obviously. So accepting that we have to crack down on that and starting to think of some ways to do it, I think are going to be essential if, you know, this sort of situation is going to continue. But also, even if we do move back to in person, because now, you know, look at the first years. They've had a whole semester with no assistance. Like, we need to be working on improving people altogether rather than just accepting that, yeah, people are going to cheat.
Right. Tomson, how about you?
For me, again, I want to go back to the labs thing, to be honest. Like I was saying, I really hope that this is less of a criticism, more of a suggestion right now. So sure. I really hope that in like the upcoming years, we have like enough lab sessions to like make up for whatever we missed out on the first year. Right. I think we need that because I personally know that I barely learned anything about being in a lab from university. And I know that I'll need lab skills if I want to be a proper scientist someday. Mm-hmm. So this is a necessity.
Right. Of course. And you know, I think on that note, I think we'll wrap it up. Gents, thank you so much. You guys have really put in a lot of work and really tell. So whatever marks you guys, like the great marks that you guys get, you absolutely deserve. And congrats on that. And this is probably a real good closing for me. This is actually going to be my last podcast on Griffins and Gluons. We're going to be handing it over to the new exec team. So tune in when those start, you know, pumping out throughout the summer. And yeah, I guess we'll call it at that. Tanzim, Galt, thank you so much. Good luck. Good luck in the summer.
Sorry not to interject, but good luck to all the new first years coming in as well, and yes, everyone else that has gone through similar situations or wherever you may be. And
absolutely,
hopefully it's working out for you too.
Get some sleep. Get some sleep, take a break. Like you guys said, you know, enjoy the small things, enjoy the sunrise, and yeah, hang in there. We'll get through this. So thank you guys so much. Really appreciate it.
Yeah,
and take care.
Thank you.